It was a hot and toasty weekend in London. We survived it. We're back. Julian Lawrence, Gabriel Marcotti, listening to the Gab and Jules show. Plenty going on because Champions League, Europa League in full swing. We'll be getting into that. We'll be getting into some Jadon Sancho talk with Jan Age Fjortoft, our man who knows Borussia Dortmund. But first, all change at Juve.
We can only start there, Gab.
You were there.
I was there. I heard what Agnelli said after the game against Lyon and the and Juve being out of Europe, saying like, well, we will talk in the next few days, but, you know, it didn't look like they were going to sack him, and yet he's gone.
I told you they were going to sack him. The interesting thing, the thing nobody really knows, was this decision made weeks earlier, as Fabio Paratici suggested, who's Juventus's director of football, or was it made after the defeat, as Andrea Agnelli seemed to indicate?
A bit of both, maybe?
I think if you look closely, Andrea Agnelli's nose gets a little bit longer.
But
when he says that, look, some of us, i.e. me, said this all along, right? He says, after the season Sarri had, not going in the right direction, the only way he was going to keep his job is if they went on a really strong run in the Champions League or won it. They did the opposite, losing to Lyon. By the way, shout out to your man, Rudy Garcia.
Well done to them.
So then the question was, who do you replace him with? And obviously they've gone for Andrea Pirlo, which very few people would have expected.
The Andrea Pirlo who's never managed a single match in his whole life, not even under eight, right?
He has never managed, as far as we know, unless he did it secretly.
Maybe there was another one I didn't know. A club like Juventus.
You're not on board on this.
Employing someone who's never managed at such a key time in the club's history because things are going more downwards than upwards, right? It's a bit strange to me, that's all.
Well, this is something I get into. I've written a piece for the website about this, about what they're hoping to achieve with Andrea Pirlo.
Yep.
As far as they're not having managed before side, it's undoubtedly true. He got his pro license, but he got it late. He was supposed to be Mancini's assistant coach with the national team. In the end, it didn't work out because he had prior commitments with television and whatnot. They view it, I think, a little bit like this. They say, maybe this is not the most crucial moment in Juve's history. Maybe we've won 9 titles in a row. Maybe this is a situation where we need to take a step back. We need to win with the players that we have. We cannot revolutionize the team. If we bring in a Pochettino or even a Simone Inzaghi, bring back Max Allegri, all these guys, they're going to come in and say, all right, how much money do we have to spend? What can we do with this guy? What can we do with that guy?
But right? Is it not what they're supposed to be doing? Because this is what the squad is at right now, no?
Oh, it is what they're supposed to be doing. But I think they feel that it's not what they can do because of their financial situation.
Yeah, okay,
they've taken a huge hit now. They're obviously going to take a hit with COVID. They have so many old players who are on huge contracts who are impossible to shift. Who the hell is going to come in and give you money for Aaron Ramsey, for example, or Sami Khedira?
Yeah.
Or Gonzalo Higuain?
Yeah, you know?
So Pirlo is the cheap and cheerful option. You bring him in. In your best case scenario, he turns into Zinedine Zidane, right? I spoke to a bunch of people familiar with the situation, an agent, somebody at the club, and they said, look, when Zidane came in, Zidane was seen as a guy who's a silent leader, midfielder, but respected, charismatic. And what did Zidane do? Zidane said, I'm not going to mess with the squad too much. These are the 11 best players. I'm going to put you in the right frame of mind. I am going to be able to speak to Cristiano Ronaldo because I am Zinedine Zidane.
Yeah.
And I'm going to build the team around him. I'm going to fit the style of play and the team to the players that I have.
Okay.
So they're hoping Pirlo does a Zizou, basically.
So people really think that Pirlo will go in preseason, have a few friendlies, first game of Serie A, and he will know what to do, how. This is, I don't know, it sounds like...
It's football, it's not rocket science.
I know, but you compare with Zidane. Zidane had... He managed La Castilla for two seasons.
Not very well, but he did,
But he did.
And he was an assistant to Ancelotti. Yeah, he had more roles.
Don't give me like Pirlo can suddenly become a great manager in 6 weeks' time when Serie A starts again.
Well, look, I said that is the best case scenario, is that he turns into a Zidane.
Yeah.
I think it's a calculated risk, right? Worst case scenario, if Pirlo doesn't work out, he's not going to cost you a lot of money because he's not earning a lot of money. He's not going to cost you a lot in terms of commitments the way a Pochettino would have done or, you know, another brand name manager. You have another year of Cristiano. Cristiano, I think, no doubt, rubber stamps Pirlo as a manager because he remembers what happened when Zidane took over. I think this has got Cristiano's fingerprints written all over it in terms of approval, which is the right thing to do. And you go forward.
Okay, but we've talked a lot about...
And then a year from now, sorry, Zizou's contract expires in Madrid, as you know, June 30th, 2021.
The thing is, okay, two things. We've talked a lot about the planning at the club in the last 3 years, where the club was and where it is now in terms of quality.
No planning, bad planning.
Bad planning, okay? 11 days ago, they appointed Andrea Pirlo as the under-23 manager.
Mm-hmm.
When they already knew that they will sack Maurizio Sarri.
Maybe they didn't, yeah. But
11 days ago, probably, right? Why doing that then? Why not wait, not give Pirlo any job, wait, and then you sack Sarri and you name Pirlo, who just had his pro license, as you said. It looks like, again, there was no planning. You name it under 23. Then you sack your manager. You go, we didn't see this one coming.
They saw it coming. I think they saw it coming. I think they knew that, look, if Sarri had won the Champions League, they would not have sacked him. But they wanted to have Pirlo as a backup plan. That's the thinking. Look, I'm not going to go and endorse it. Would they be better off with Pochettino and spending 100 million? Yeah. But I want to just wrap up something.
Just quickly.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Sorry. Sarri's gone. Now I want to see either Pavel Nedved gone.
Yeah.
Or Paratici gone. One of the two, maybe even both.
There were rumors about Paratici leaving.
This is also their responsibility and their mistake why Juve are there now. Not just Sarri's.
And Andrea Agnelli too, because he signed off on this, but ultimately he's obviously not going to go.
It's not gonna
I think, Andrea, if you're listening, take a step back, evaluate these guys and decide something. I want to make a point, though. Everybody's doom and gloom. Oh, Juve, they're so old, they're so slow. I don't know that they're quite as badly set up as they are, because De Ligt obviously injured, but when he does come back, you've got De Ligt, you've got Demiral, you squeeze another year out of Bonucci, you're okay there. You have a very good goalkeeper. You have Alexandro, who looked good at the end of the season. You have Dybala, you have Kulusevski, you have Cristiano up front. It's
you have
the midfield.
Midfield to rebuild.
The midfield is what they need to sort out. Thankfully, Andrea Pirlo knows a thing or two about playing midfield. All right, so as you know, we make a TV show, and because there's constraints with television and fewer constraints with podcast, you get a little bit of bonus Juventus chat here, Jules.
Indeed, Gab. And what I wanted to say as well and discuss with you was, as always, in those kind of situations, the manager is sacked and a lot of people start talking and telling a few stories why they liked him, why they didn't like him.
Yes, I'm sure there were many stories of people saying how much they love Maurizio Sarri.
Well, there were certainly stories, or at least, you know, people were briefed or leaked that some of the players had issue with him. Cristiano Ronaldo apparently seemed to get annoyed quite early in the season that at training during the session, Sarri kept shouting, only two touches. Everything had to be two touches. Mm. I guess to speed up the play, which is what Sarri is about, really. But clearly, Cristiano thought that at times the two-touch philosophy was not...
And
was
clearly,
not
if Cristiano might have been doing that in training, but in games, he still did whatever he wanted.
Yeah, true.
And
true,
he's
true.
Like, you know, as long as he keeps scoring, what's Sarri going to say?
Yeah. But my best one is maybe Douglas Costa, who we knew was not...
The GOAT? Or the llama, sorry.
Yeah, was not the biggest admirer of Maurizio Sarri, but who said that what really annoyed him is that Sarri kept smoking too close to him in the dressing room, because Sarri does smoke and he does smoke in the dressing room. And that Douglas Costa has had enough, I think, of all the cigarettes and the smoke and the everything. No, but it's true. Some managers can annoy you for things outside of the pitch as well.
Yeah, I think...
The way they behave, the way they talk, you know.
I think it's pretty obvious he never quite built that relationship with the team. Look, Sarri ends up paying, as you alluded to before in the TV podcast, in the TV version, he was given a team that was completely wrong what he was trying to do. I think he gave up trying to do what he wanted to do early on. This two touches thing, that might have happened at the start of the season, but it's obviously not happening later. But I want to get your review a little bit about Juve going forward, because, as I mentioned, yes, this is an older team, but it's not like everybody's terrible. In terms of next season, right?
Yeah.
So you have Cristiano, you have Dybala. They may move Bernardeschi. There's talk of seeing maybe even paying off Higuain, sending him away. Obviously, they'll need to get another forward. Well, Kulusevski's coming in.
Yeah.
But they will need to have a genuine center forward in certain situations. So they'll pick somebody up there. At the back, I think you're okay.
You need a right back.
You need a right back.
Cuadrado cannot play right back.
De Sciglio, Danilo, I know. It is what it is. But four of the back five, they're okay, right?
Yeah, I think they're okay. You're right. A left back, even if Alexandro can maybe be a bit better defensively. But Demiral, De Ligt, Bonucci, Chiellini for the for this period can still be
there. Bilic's injury doesn't look good, but, you know.
Yeah, you still have Rugani as well, who could do a job when, you know, as a number three or number four or number five in the pecking order, no problem. Right back here. Midfield is my issue, but the problem is that midfield to rebuild will cost you a lot of money.
Okay. So
Arthur is coming in. We don't know if that's going to work or
not. If Pirlo likes Arthur.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, and I think this is the tricky thing, right? Because we said all along, all those free transfers that Paratici did, so clever and stuff, obviously those aren't free. There's a lot of money, and when you don't like them, you can't get rid of them, right? We've been through that. I'm guessing you're looking at Bentancur is somebody who's there, can do a job for you. Arthur. Then you're gambling, or you're hoping that Pirlo can get something out of Rabiot.
Yeah.
And then it gets a little bit dicey. I don't need to see Aaron Ramsey. I mean, if Aaron Ramsey's a big part of Juve's plans, then they got a serious problem, right? Matuidi is somebody who they might even be able to get a little bit of money for because maybe, he has some admiration. There's talk of him and Inter Miami. But then again, if I'm Inter Miami, I mean, and I'm looking for box office people. I love Blaise Matuidi.
Me too.
I love him. We all love him, right?
How he's born and bred as well. Yeah, he's my boy.
But is that Mr. Box Office, right?
No, it's not. But maybe you keep him for those games where, you know, you press high, you press a lot, and you run a lot, and he can do that if Pirlo wants him to play football.
But you need one signing.
Oh, maybe more.
Maybe
than that.
At least one marquee signing
in midfield.
The one thing which struck me is, you know, when these things come out, obviously nobody's seen Pirlo manage. Nobody's any idea what he wants to do, right? And, you know, in Italy, I was watching some of the Italian sports shows last night, and they had, you know, the insiders come on. It's just like, well, you know, we're told that Pirlo wants to play a possession game, an attacking game with pressing. And there was this old grizzled journalist on. He's like, yeah, it's funny. I don't remember the last time a manager took over a club and say, no, I want to play a defensive game. I want to play really slow. I don't.
Boring.
Everybody, yeah.
You know, 1-0 wins. Yeah, you're right.
What can you do with Cristiano, though? I mean, this is the thing. If you have Cristiano, right, Pirlo's not going to do that. Pirlo's going to be closer to Allegri, right?
Yeah, but hasn't been Cristiano a problem in a way this season as well?
Oh, he's been a tremendous. I mean, it's been a problem.
36 goals, that's great. And, I mean, he almost bailed them out again on Friday night. But does that prevent you from having a proper identity in your game? Because
you know, it prevents you from having a Sarri identity. Prevents you from having a Klopp Guardiola identity. Okay. It doesn't prevent you from
Pirlo's
having an
philosophy
identity.
Might not be far. You know, if you think of Pirlo as a player, what he would do as a manager, it might not be too far from what Sarri wants.
So, I think Pirlo's idea is this, and I touched upon it before, and this is what made him appealing to Juve. The biggest influence, technically, on his career was Carlo Ancelotti.
Yeah.
And what Ancelotti's kind of done since he left Juve in 2001, before that he was very much a dogmatist and a philosophy guy, is he said, I'm going to start with the players I have, and I'm going to find a system that suits the player, and not the other way around. And that means being pragmatic. So they look at this, and they think that he's going to do something similar. And that's what Zidane did, of course, at Real Madrid as well.
But
this year,
players.
He's tweaked a lot more, right?
Also, if you want to put Cristiano in the best conditions and build everything around him, you need the players to do that. Zidane at Real Madrid had the players to do that. That was perfect. It's a great fit. You had Benzema, and maybe Dybala can play in a similar role to Benzema had with Cristiano to help Cristiano perform so well. And they did that certainly after the restart of Serie A. But
it's a big ask. I agree. It's a huge ask. And again, there is the very cynical part of me that says, like, Pirlo's there because he's cheap, because he won't get booed, and he won't get criticized. And if everything goes pear-shaped halfway through the season, you can start pursuing Zizou. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the Did we just hit $1 million stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/gabjules, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/gabjules now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/gabjules. Enough Pirlo. Now let's go to somebody who might one day emulate Andrea Pirlo's victories. That's, of course, Jadon Sancho. We're joined, as promised, by Jan Åge Fjørtoft. Jan, I'm going to get straight to the point. This is one of those transfers that's promising to dominate this summer. Borussia Dortmund had fixed a price for him. We were told it was 120 million euros. They'd also fixed a deadline, August 10th. Today, as we speak, is August 10th. What's going on?
What is going on is that, like you said, the management of Dortmund have said, if the player is on the plane going to our training camp, he will be Dortmund player for the next season, which is their deadline. And for some fans, then, well, the deadline, the transfer deadline is so much later, and nobody believe you, Dortmund. But Dortmund have put a deadline on him. So what I said yesterday, that either you will have someone lose their face or someone will lose a player, like Sancho could not go to Manchester United if they're strict on it. What we do know this morning, that on the airport, on the private jet going to Switzerland, Sancho was on. Sancho was on his way. Dortmund will speak to the press later. But do I think that Sancho will leave still if Manchester United could offer a package of 120 million euro? Yes, I do. But for Dortmund, they had to put him on that plane. They have a good dialogue with the player. So that is not a big, big surprise that Sancho is going to the training camp.
But I guess you don't mind losing face if you get 120 million euros in cash, right?
Well, there is not. It's like a package. You know, it's the same thing with Havertz at Leverkusen and in Dortmund with Sancho. They both planned this summer. They wanted to have bidders in. Then something happened called COVID-19. And at the end of the day, now for Manchester United, the only one who is in there would have a realistic target to pay that amount of 120 million euro. We are talking about 70, 80 initial fee and then installments coming up to 120 million. That is Manchester United. And Manchester United, I mean, Manchester United need a player that can excite the fans. Manchester United did a great end to the season, but Ole Gunnar Solskjaer knows he was a part of that team, a team that excites people all around the world. I mean, they have one or two players with Greenwood, Rashford, Pogba on his day that can excite people, but Sancho would be a perfect match for Manchester United.
Hey, sorry, just a clarification here. You said 70, 80 million plus installments. Do you mean installments or mean bonuses?
Bonuses, yeah.
Because if they're installments from a boring financial point of view, you can book it as 120 million if that's what they add up to. If it's bonuses, obviously it's going to be contingent on many things. Is that the sticking point right now, as you understand it?
Well, the thing is, when Dortmund, at the time when they said, "We let you go, my friend, for 120 million euro," they hoped that there were a lot of bidders in, meaning that they could go for the guys who will come up for the cash. But it's normal in most transfer fees or transfers packages that they will pay an initial fee, say that is 70, then 50 is lacking. So maybe next year, 25, the other season, 25. Yes, Manchester United will try to put that into Champions League or whatever. But Dortmund, on their hand, will say, well, maybe you don't get into the Champions League. So we want that a fixed thing to be paid at this and that date next season. So I think that at the moment they are discussing these kind of things because Dortmund is a public company. We will know the transfer fee. And Dortmund, after Dembele and Aubameyang, which went to strike to leave the club, it's very important for them that this one gets right. And just mind you, Sancho has been doing fine. Sancho has said nothing. There are no agents who are doing their lack of loyalty in the media. So far, so good for Dortmund.
I mean, this is part of the negotiation anyway, right? It's the way Dortmund can put a bit of pressure on United. It's still quite friendly. It's not like we will never speak to you again after August the 10th if you don't give us the money and if we don't have an agreement. I'm sure they did the same with Ousmane Dembele and he still ended up going to Barcelona. So,
but as Jan said, though, I think this is the key, though. In both Alba and Dembele, you had a situation where they went out and they essentially forced their hand. They threatened
August
to go on 10th. Strike.
Who tells you that in 3 weeks' time, Sancho's camp is not going to say, come on, we've had enough now. Let's sort this move out. And we want to go. Sancho has been in agreement with United on the personal contract for month and month now. This is all sorted. It's just between the two clubs. And right now, Sancho and his camp are not angry. They still believe that talks will continue and then maybe they find an agreement. But in 3 or 4 weeks, when the transfer market will still be open, maybe that would change and maybe they get a bit upset and start losing patience.
Is that what it would take, Jan? What's your take? I mean, what is the likelihood that the transfer window closes October 5th? It's way, way away. If we get to mid-September, is there a scenario where Sancho tries to force a move by maybe picking up, you know, phantom injuries and stuff like that?
Well, it's an analyze how this will develop now. If I spoke to people quite close this morning, I'm not saying that just to say it, I did. And I talked to them and I said, if the management of Dortmund will be sensible, say it's reported, and I believe them, that Sancho wants to go home. He wants to go back to his home country, fair enough. He wants to go to Manchester United, fair enough too, because that's the only club that can kind of take him home. And Manchester United at the moment, they are challengers and so on and so on. If the management with Sork and Watzke, knowing the situation with Dembele and Aubameyang, what would you do? You would go to the player, tell the player, if you act sensibly now, if you don't do any stupid things, any comments like the agent or Lewandowski did in back in the days, or Dembele and Aubameyang, we will let you go. Okay, the player will keep his mouth shut. They will do the sensible thing. He will train hard. He will be in good mood, as everything is reported. He's perfect in training. He will do that. But what will happen if he realizes that he won't be able to go? That is the next step of the deal. So, on the other hand, Manchester United, this thing that they are kind of telling the English press that we want this, we are not that keen on this player. We won't go all the way. The thing is, Dortmund are serious that they would like to keep the player. So, and we have to put that into the whole analyze. They say he's on €6 million now. We can put him on 10. We can do him a fantastic, good, well-played player. That is not only a strategic move from Dortmund. They are serious. They want to keep Sancho.
Jan, I want to ask another question just in terms of squad building, because from Borussia Dortmund's perspective, if Sancho stays in that sort of attacking midfield winger position, you're talking about Hazard, Brandt, Royce, Gio Reyna, Jude Bellingham. That is a lot of bodies, a lot of people who you want to get on the pitch to get playing time to continue to develop. Royce, not so much, but certainly the other ones. Are they almost banking on the fact that Sancho's going to go? Could this mean that maybe they move somebody else?
It's a very good point, because I think that Dortmund have built their squad as to sell Sancho. And sometimes in the analysis we have done, sometimes we have maybe missed, because they have known that Sancho wants to leave. They know that his personal fee won't be a problem. So it's right, but they have to say, we want to keep him. Then they will find another solution. The transfer window is still, like you said, till October. They can kind of move people in and around. But I think they know who will get in there. Like you said, a lot of bodies can play in that position. And I think that speaks also for the fact that Sancho will leave the club.
Do you think that's, both of you, Sancho is still very young, right? And he's never faced any sort of situation like this. But even if staying at Dortmund is not a bad thing, there's worse thing in world football than playing for Dortmund. You play in the Champions League, you probably have another shot at the title maybe. But if that move doesn't happen, where he was really keen on going to United, he's really keen, like Jan said, to go back home, etc. That doesn't happen. What kind of spirit do you think he's in? How does he approach this season where he would almost be forced to be staying, where he doesn't want to be there? Although again,
I think
than being at Dortmund, but
I think the wild card in this, though, I mean, I think it's a great question from Jules. I'm just going to throw my two cents here, then chuck it to you, Jan. If he ends up staying, he's a year closer to the end of his contract. So if this deal doesn't happen, yes, if you're Sancho, you don't sign a new contract, and then you have all the leverage in the world a year from now, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, it's interesting that we can't compare with Havertz, because Havertz was in that position last year for Leverkusen. What did Leverkusen do? They just gave him more money. No clause, nothing. They just gave him more money. And what Dortmund will do, and I think what they plan to do, that is a player who had his mind already in the English Premiership going over there when he started with that. He didn't know it was going to be Liverpool, Manchester United, whoever. He will never go back to Manchester City, but still, that's going to be in. So they're going to help him to settle also in his mind with a lot of more money. And I think that is the easy strategy of Dortmund. And I think that Sancho, at the end, will accept that if Manchester United won't come up with enough the package.
Why would you take that? I mean, I can understand. Sorry, just from assuming you were advising him. I mean, from Sancho's perspective, I would go to Dortmund and I would say, you know what? You want to give me a new contract, more years? That's fine. But then
they will increase his salary, but not extend the contract.
Well, what's the point of doing
that? That's
what
I did exactly. And that's what I did with Harvard. They just gave him more money. They didn't extend his contract. They didn't give him any clause. They just extended his contract. I can't see that.
But why would he accept
it? Yeah, it's
okay. Why would he accept
the
longer contract? Well, why? I don't understand.
No,
he won't do
that. There's no longer contract.
He won't do that.
The contract length stayed the same, but instead of earning $6 million a year, he earns $10 million a year for next season. So you almost take away the fact that he could be upset or frustrated that he didn't move by saying, you know what, we're still going to look after you.
Okay, all right. Jan, help me. Do footballers' minds work that way? No, honestly, because I understand if you get a new contract and whatever and the dynamic changes. If your boss at a football club simply gives you more money but doesn't give you more years, do you suddenly become more committed and play better?
No, it's a win-win.
But I think that there is a fact that we haven't talked about. This is who going to own the history of this deal. And today, the 10th of August, it starts. Manchester United tried to sell in their side of the story. So do Manchester United, as Manchester United did with Haaland when they said that was all Raiola's fault. He was greedy and so on and so on. And some of us know the truth. And we said that was not true. But they will still try to do that in this. And Manchester United and Dortmund are the same. And they need the player on their side. And that's, I'm not saying that footballers tick like that, but I think that if Dortmund's going to keep Sancho, they have to come up with a reliable story, because they can't come up with a story and telling Sancho, sorry, they only wanted to give 100 million for you. And then Sancho was said, please, I would have been one of the most expensive players in the world and I wanted to go home. Yeah, but we're going to do this and that to keep you happy and so on. And then they will sell in this story. I always use the example of Cristiano Ronaldo, who wanted to leave Manchester United. Manchester United, so clever, selling into him, give us another great season and we let you go next summer. There is a lot of more deals like that than we think in the world of football.
Well, got to say, that was the golden years of Sir Alex Ferguson. Yeah. I think that man was cut from another cloth, kind of next level type stuff from the great band of Cristiano Ronaldo. I agree with you there. Jan, thank you so much. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab.
Gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, enough Sancho, enough Pirlo. Let's go with some quick hits.
Let's go, Gab.
Jules, Paris Saint-Germain have their date with Destiny and Atalanta on Wednesday. I know you're afraid. You're very afraid. They're increasingly bullish about Kylian Mbappe being back.
Oh, my boy, I love him so much. I love him so much. He trained with the team yesterday for the first time since that really bad injury and bad tackle in the French Cup final, 3 weeks ago or something, a bit less than 3 weeks ago. There's hope that he could be on the bench to start with and maybe come on if needed. You know, if PSG are 4-0 up after half an hour, we won't need him, but you never know. Yeah. I think he would want to start, but they don't want either to take any risk in case they qualify and they go to the semi-final. And then, so let's see how it goes in the next 2 days. But it was certainly very good news to see him back at training yesterday.
Atalanta without their goalkeeper, Gollini, yeah. Il rapper coi guanti, the rapper with gloves, as they know. No, because look, Gollini is, we talked about this before, he is a legitimate rapper.
He is a very
legitimate
one.
Even than Kevin Prince Boateng, I would say.
And Memphis Depay.
Memphis Depay, easily, yeah. But yeah, he's out. Sportiello in. Not the same thing.
There have been two positive tests in Atletico Madrid's travelling group of players and coaches ahead of their match with Leipzig on Thursday in Lisbon. Gab, is this a reason to be concerned?
I think it is a little bit of a reason. I mean, originally they said players and staff. Now Atletico Madrid are making it clear that they're players. Obviously, it depends who the players are. It depends how this is going to affect the rest of the team. They will continue to be tested. Personally, unless this turns out to be a false positive, I don't see how these guys can play. We'll find out who they are. But it is a bit of a blow, and it definitely is a concern, I think.
And I saw many messages from fans hoping that it was Thomas Lemar who had the
that's the awful.
Which is really disgusting.
That's really awful.
Okay, I know he hasn't worked out for your club, but come on, don't wish that on people.
Lionel Messi scores an absolute worldie as Barcelona beat Napoli to advance and face Bayern. But he's so upset, he doesn't shake the referee's hand. A referee, of course, our friend Mr. Shakir. Jules, you okay with that? And since you're Mr. Techers, tell me about that second goal.
I'm not okay, but I think he was disappointed, upset. Although they qualified, they didn't really play well. Let's be honest. Again, he was
they
not. They
played well. They did what they needed. Come on. Let's talk about the second goal.
I mean, you know, my favorite goal is the one that was disallowed because the outside of the right foot cross, first time from Frankie de Jong, was just sublime. And then the chest control from Messi and the finish. That's a much better goal than the one he scored where he whizzed through the defense in the box, falls over. And somehow, even like half down, manages to do his special.
That was special. No, first of all, the other goal, right? The one where he falls over.
Yeah, give Frankie de Jong a love, because he was amazing in that game.
Okay. Frankie de Jong, I thought, looked better. Jared Pique, I thought, had a good game. But that goal, that came after the end of like a 20-move pass from Barcelona. It's vintage Quique Setién stuff.
True.
And then, and it's amazing because you go through the buildup, Messi's just standing by the sideline, resting, and you just kind of know he's not really a part of it. And you know he's going to do something. How the guy falls over and gets up so quickly and kind of, you know, winds his way through there, creates space, and then he's falling again. He gets that shot off. It's unreal. Somebody made the point where normal players see alleyways. He sees highways. He sees six-lane highways. Unbelievable stuff.
This is very true. Manchester City knocked out Real Madrid and will take on Lyon in the quarterfinals. But Gab, is it true that even if, with prize money being cut, even if they win the tournament, they will make more money than anybody else in history of the Champions League?
If they win the tournament, yes. It has to do with a number of things. A lot of people don't seem to know this. There's something called the market pool, which is based on the size of your domestic TV contract, which is obviously very big in the United Kingdom. It also depends on what other teams from your country advance in the competition, because there is a cap there. And because all the other English sides...
Two, three, four clubs are in the...
Exactly. All the other English sides knocked out, and that would be a huge boost. I think it's something like 118 million, assuming prize money gets cut. It's going to be more than that if the prize money isn't cut. Now, we spoke about Lyon before, knocking out Juventus. I'm sure you want to show some love for Rudy Garcia. Now, let's be clear. Takes over from Silvino during the season. Lyon end up finishing seventh. And now they're in the Elite Eight of Europe.
Incredible. What an achievement. What an exploit, really, from Lyon. No French clubs had ever beaten in the history of European football. Juventus over two legs in a knockout competition in Europe, whether that's the UEFA Cup or the Champions League, after 10 oppositions. Well done to Lyon. They were very well organized. They played with a lot of heart. I wrote about it for the website as well. It's been a website with great team spirit. And it was enough because Juve were not very good either, apart from Ronaldo. I don't know if that would be enough against City, but they had great history against City last season in the group stages. If you remember, one win and one draw.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Robert Lewandowski has 13 Champions League goals already after Bayern Munich hammering off Chelsea. The record held by Cristiano Ronaldo is 17, which he achieved in 2013-14. Can Louis beat that?
No, he can't. Like, I did, look,
what do you mean he can't? He's got three more games potentially.
Potentially, yeah. He's got to get past Barcelona. Four goals in three games is a lot, even for Lewandowski. I don't think he will. I'm going to give this a 10% chance.
I bet you lunch or dinner in your... Cheese. What's your favorite cheese place in?
Cheesesteak? Passyank.
Yes,
we Passyank go there. Avenue. That's we'll right. Go there. Cleveland Street, we'll Central
there.
London.
Yeah, we go there if it doesn't beat the record or if he levels it.
All right.
And you pay if he does.
You're going to owe me a Pro V with. Liverpool were looking for a reserve left back, and they may have got one in Olympiacos left back Kostas Tsimikas. Jules, it's a fee of around 12 million. He's 24. He's really only been a starter for one season, and he has just three caps for Greece. Is he just a late bloomer?
Not let Bloomer in the sense. He's still young, man. Come on, give him a break. But it has been a breakthrough season. He was very good against Bayern, gave an assist in the Champions League with Olympiacos. He played really well, I thought, against Wolves the other night. You could see why he has that could really fit the way Liverpool are playing. Okay, he's not Robertson, but come on. It would be a good backup.
Well, obviously, they were linked with Jamal Lewis as well from Norwich. Great player. I think one of the things you want to look at is this guy's not going to throw any shade on Andy Robertson. You know he's a competent left back. He can back him up in certain positions. And he hasn't cost you that much. So it looks like a reasonable signing if it happens. Yeah. Not confirmed yet.
And he's still young enough to have resale value anywhere at some point if you want to sell him. 2 years ago, Eric Garcia left Barcelona as a 17-year-old and very promising for Manchester City. And now, after 2 years at the Etihad, he apparently wants to go back, having turned down a new contract extension. Does this make sense to you, Gab? And does it hurt for Pep?
I mean, they made it seem. I mean, we were told
Pep looked upset, yeah.
Pep was upset that he was Pep's project. Played 13 games, I think, this year for Manchester City. These are the risks. When you go and you nick people from other people's academy, as they did with Eric Garcia, now he can run down his contract and let him go. I saw numbers like 40 million. I think that seems pretty pie in the sky to me. But put it this way, if you're Eric Garcia, your prospects of starting are arguably, in the next 3 to 5 years, much better, or in the next 1 to 2 years, are actually much, much better in Barcelona than they are, I think, at Manchester City. Manchester United faced Copenhagen in the Europa League quarterfinal. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer against Dalisil Bakken. Jules, I guess the starters come back and it should be very straightforward. Yeah,
of course. They were rested against LASK because they were finally up from the first leg. Anyway, this time it's going to be a bit of better opposition than LASK. A bit more solid, good on set pieces, the usual. But come on, United, bring back Bruno Fernandes, Pogba, everybody else, and they'll be fine. It's a good few days for Wolves. They beat Olympiacos first to take on, and then take on Sevilla for a place in the Europa League semi-final. And even better, their sanction for violating financial fair play is tiny, Gab.
Right. They breach, and if they fulfill the requirements, it's only going to be 200,000 euros. So it must have been a tiny breach. It's the problem with financial fair play.
Yeah.
We never quite know what the situation is. But big win for them. They're through the semis. They're in good position. We'll see how things work out. Now, Lille are another club who, of course, signed a settlement agreement over financial fair play with UEFA. They'll have some restrictions, but they're getting money from Osimhen, and they're already spending it. Who are they getting, Jules?
And for all our Canadian friends, we can say that Jonathan David, their striker, who's again this season, has agreed to join Lille. I think it would be officially done maybe today or Monday or tomorrow, or at least in a couple of next few days. But it's a great signing, 30 million euros for David, who had a wonderful season, really, both in the Europa League and in domestic league as well. He's so talented.
Jonathan David from Genk, for those who don't follow the Belgian league as closely as Jules does.
Yeah.
Because I'm assuming you have some Belgian ancestry, right?
I've just said he played for Genk.
No, I'm assuming you have some Belgian ancestry, right?
No, I don't think so.
Come on, Laurence? Like, that's not...
That
doesn't speak kind of Walloony, Flemish.
South.
All right.
Southwest, okay. More than anything else. But listen, they have really high hopes. I think he's very, very talented. A different profile to Osimhen. He will bring something different. They've also signed Burak Yilmaz, the very experienced Beşiktaş and Turkish striker. I think to bring a bit of experience to replace Loic Remy, who was going to Benevento but then didn't because he failed his medical. But this is the idea. But I can't wait to see Jonathan David for Lille in Ligue 1 especially, and then also in Europe, because they will be in the Europa League.
When our colleague Tor Christian Carlsen made his list of young stars to watch.
Yeah, he was in.
He was in. There were more Canadians on that list than there were Americans.
They have two special ones, really.
Alphonso Davies and Jonathan David. And the thing about Jonathan David was born in Brooklyn.
He was indeed,
according to his Wikipedia page, anyway.
No, I think it's the truth.
So you can count him as one who got away.
Yeah. Half and half, maybe. And finally, Gab, Carlos Tevez has signed a new deal at Boca Juniors. We love those romantic stories, don't we?
Ay, Carlitos.
Carlitos.
I don't know, man. Like,
what do you mean you don't know?
No. What I know is, or I'm just going to get there. Buenos Aires will always hold a special place in my heart. It's, I went to Argentina for my honeymoon. I love all the old school stuff.
Did you go to the Bombonera on your honeymoon?
We did. We went outside the Bombonera. Yes. I didn't get to catch a game, unfortunately, because it wasn't in season. But yeah, it's romantic. Like, the guy took a pay cut to go to Boca Juniors, you know. Originally from Juventus. These people who everybody talks, right? Everybody's talk, blah, I love this club. Very, very few people put their money where their mouth is, right? Everybody talks a good game. Carlos Tevez is somebody who's done it. I mean, then of course he detoured away to go and cash in a little bit in the Gulf, but then he came back and look, I love it. Does this make me a Boca fan? No, it makes me very interested, neutral to see how things.
He's still effective. I think he scored 9 goals in the last season. So it's not even you give him a new deal and because he's Carlos Tevez. He's actually bringing something to your team. So good on that.
Absolutely. Right. This brings us to an end to our podcast this week. If you have a chance, if you're in the part of the world fortunate enough to have the Gab and Jules show, you can also see us in person, see how handsome we are. If not, keep listening to our podcast. And shall we come back on Thursday and do this all over again?
Thursday, we'll have review from the PSG Atalanta game, previewing the rest of the Champions League, reviewing the Europa League, previewing the following semifinal of the Europa League. It's going to be a great show Thursday.
We didn't even mention Inter against Bayer Leverkusen.
Yeah, that would be good as well.
Bayer Leverkusen. See what I did there?
Yeah, see what
Conte you did. Versus Boss. Don't worry. We'll be reviewing it. We'll be making, put it this way, no matter what happens on Thursday, I will be making fun of whoever loses
of course.
Between the two of them.